Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Always Smiling Faces podcast on the Gallagher Shot YouTube channel, part of the 90 Minute Football Network and sponsored by
Bestie. Who are we sponsored by? This will test whether he's listened to anything.
There's a USB socket on the back of the camera.
That's it's not fine.
Is that okay?
It's fine.
Same deflecting there. Deflecting.
PT4U, isn't it?
Yes. www.pt-4-u.co.uk.
Yeah, I'm sure you can tell. I've been using it.
Well done, son. Well done.
Put about 3 store on this last week.
So, people that are just listening to audio, you'll probably already realise Bestie's back.
I'm back.
He's back.
Guess who's back?
I was going to go for the take that option, to be honest.
Yeah. A bit ambitious, like, but you know.
I thought you meant babe.
Back for a bit.
Babe. I'm here again.
What kind of harmonised it?
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
You did. So, yeah, Bessie's back. Bessie, you had a good time off.
I'm knackered, and this is the first time in about 6 weeks that I haven't had sick on it somewhere.
I thought you were going to say worn a shirt.
That as well, to be honest with you. Like, I've turned.
Might be breastfeeding.
you had a go earlier on, like, so we're bottle feeding him. And he had a go. You tried to get a latch on earlier on, like, so I had to wear.
Slip into something a bit more, cover up.
A little dig in the ribs and say, look, no.
Yeah, so paternity's over. Bestie's back. Decker's not well. In fact, no, it's Decker's last. That's not Decker's very well.
Yeah.
So Decker's playing nurse tonight.
Decker
would 100% dress up like a nurse. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, he does on a weekend anyway. But we're here for the important things. We are here to talk about Newcastle United, as usual. So,
yay!
Oh, Matty's here as well. Sorry, everybody. Matty's just part of the furniture now.
Hi, Matty. Yeah. Welcome back again. Yeah,
five. Just part of the furniture. Yeah. Matty, I'm going to start with you this week. I know we start with Dagger, but I'll start with you. So, Newcastle United 1, Leeds United 1.
Yeah.
Build up to the game. Were you expecting much apart from getting pissed?
No. I needed to get pissed. And I think the first half proved why I needed to get pissed. Yeah, I just got very drunk and just waited for the inevitable. And the first 10 minutes, I thought the inevitable was happening. It was dog shit, and it was what I expected. But thankfully, it didn't end up
West
case scenario, I guess.
Do me a favor, go and check Matty's mic. He's mic number one. See if it's muted. Daryl said that Matty's muted to him. He shouldn't be. Everything should be fine. If it is, we'll address it. Bestie,
hiya.
Were you at the game?
No.
How many games have you missed so far?
All of them except for one. I was at the West Ham game because I happened to be. Amy was in the RVI cell at the time, so I just managed to kind of nick off for an hour, go to the match, get a hard time from a rival entertainer, and then enjoy that, endure that. So yeah, I've missed them all for various reasons. Friday night, I just didn't fancy it. To be honest with you, I'm just not that. I mean, like, you've got two lads, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mark's got 15 kids, 4 or 5 grandkids.
That he knows of.
What? I've got two.
I think
I've got
three.
No, two. One of each.
That you know of, eh?
that I know of, eh?
Yeah. I would,
Noises.
But no, I don't know how. I went out last night, and I've just had the fear all day, thinking I've got two kids. One of them's been a nursery all day. And I'm like, how did
people... Was it not BF, yeah?
But more than... Oh, yeah, it was. I've had a nice time last night, but... Like, I just don't get how people with more than one kid can kind of do anything except for look after the kids.
That's life now, mate. Yeah. I'm sorry to tell you, but that is life.
You know, wait a few more years and they can start actually looking after themselves a little bit. And then you can get your life back a bit.
Mark hasn't seen his in 2 years. Just leaves him in the house.
I wish.
But, right.
Are you old enough to drink that, bud?
I am. Just.
Oh, he's definitely been drinking it.
Everybody that is listening, just give it a thumbs up. It might be working. I think it's working. What I can hear, it is working now.
Noises.
I think maybe we just didn't plug it in, to be honest with you.
It was all right over there on the mixer and stuff. So
we were out early for the match.
Oh, yes.
I think we were more looking forward to the event, as in going out, than what we were for the match. As usual, when it's a late kickoff, you tend to find yourself not wanting to leave the pub, especially when you're expecting such a shit show. And it feels like there's a magnet repelling you from St. James's Park. You take 10 steps and you walk past a pub thinking, oh, shall we just go in there?
That's just what they meant when you're out a couple of hours, several hours before the game starts. And it was quite a nice night as well, wasn't it? Outside in the sunshine, having a few beverages, and one thing leads to another, and you just think, well, shall we sack it off and just stay here all night?
It looked from what I saw like you all had a lovely time.
Yeah.
We were absolutely, absolutely mortal.
Well, I decided to stay clear. I give my two tickets to two of the Gallagher Shots Parish, and decided to go. My dad hasn't been going to the game, so I decided to go back to
Has he not been at any this season?
Yeah. I think it's half can't be asked to come up and sit through it, but I think it's like, I still think he's a bit, you know, about the big crowds and stuff. I know a few people who were like in their 60s, 70s.
Has he been to St. James's Park recently?
Yeah, there's plenty of space in one of the corners for him. But I just decided to just start drinking as soon as I finished work, and then went back to Hartlepool and watched it in a pub with him. So it was, but it made it easier.
Mm.
Made it a little bit easier.
Let's get on to the game itself. I'll come back to you, Mark. First off, absolute shambles. But to be honest, rather than speak about the performance itself, I want to touch on the atmosphere inside St. James's Park, because I think we all said that in the pub, that if we go goal down, the atmosphere is going to get turned on its head. It didn't even take that.
Yeah. Well, we said it last week, actually, didn't we? When we were talking that it took was a few misplaced passes to go a goal behind, or just to not start well, and all of that happened in the first kind of 5-10 minutes of the game. And then obviously, as we know, we did go behind, but it was quite a mixed affair with the atmosphere, because I've got to say, for the majority of it, the crowd was very, very good in making plenty of noise and stuff like that, but there was definitely massive numbers of people making their feelings very, very well known to Steve Bruce. So as much so as when I've watched it back on Match of the Day and on Sky and stuff like that, all the commentators have all mentioned the fact that the crowd wasn't happy. So it definitely came across to them. Maybe not so much in like the noise that you heard from me just watching back the highlights and stuff like that. I don't know what it was like. Matt, you probably know better from watching it on the TV, whether it came through on the speakers and stuff like that. But it was absolutely, at times,
it was loud.
It was very, very loud.
I always think it's hard to gauge when you watch on telly. It sounds, when you're in a stadium, it depends on where you are. If you're sitting in the east stand, in the Millburn stand, beg pardon, not the kind of belittle any, it just tends to be quieter there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in the Strawberry Corner, the back of the Gallagher, it just tends to be louder. Watching it on the telly, I watch it at home. A couple of times you did hear, and it sounded like the corner really going there.
It was the corner
at the Gallagher,
it's really hard to gauge, I think, because it depends where the microphones are, what they're going to pick up and stuff. And it wasn't, my kind of perception of it was that it happened towards half time, certainly towards full time, at full time as well. But it didn't feel, I've seen people at the game say, it was really, I think you said it was quite poisonous at times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that really came across on TV so much.
I just think you can hear it like I said, I wouldn't think it was constant. It was like, it's like that visceral, it's not a come on. It's not like when Joe, every now and then we might, back in the day, there'd be a bad passage of play, we've been behind it for 15 minutes, finally goes out for a goal kick, and it's like, right, you try and jiggle the raw goal kick or something.
Yeah.
Like that raw, it wasn't a raw, it was a pure dismay, this is shit.
Yeah.
Again, and they've had them noises since the Southampton game, so you could hear it, it just wasn't constant.
I think it was loud, but it was for very brief spells at a time. You were looking for a couple of minutes. I think if I had to continue, then it's only going to get louder across the ground.
More so in the second half, there was longer spells of persistent chanting, like the old Bruce. Cheer Up Stevie Bruce song was for a long time.
Ashley Out was getting chanted, and there was another Bruce one. Mike Dean got it out.
We want
point.
Brucey out.
That a few was, times. He's got a baldy head or something like that.
It's not about you.
He was awful, though, wasn't he? He was absolutely awful.
He closed down here and really well.
He did.
Well, I think that was when we then sang that song.
He stepped across. It's not all about you.
But it's just some of his decisions throughout the game, like just blatant fouls, not giving anything, and just letting the passage that have played Gwon, but when the team that were fouled, and this was both ways, like, you know, I'm not trying to be,
I think,
so he was biased. He just,
once again, though, I think we pick up the first booking, if I remember right. And there was a few times that Sam was getting pulled down left, right, and centre.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And we, I think we got the first booking for an absolute nothing challenge, if I remember right. Probably Hayden, to be fair, that picked it up. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, it seemed like he was quite willing to let a few things go when it was Saint that was running with the ball. But then as soon as the Leeds player was getting tackled, it just thought, nah, free kick. Yeah. And I don't know, just it's Mike Dean, isn't it?
I think it was Matt Ritchie was
him.
The first one.
Was it Ritchie, was
sort
it?
Look there, yeah. Yes. I remember it was just a bit of an innocuous one, really. It was like one way you could say, oh, well, I'll give you one.
Typical
give you
Matt
that
Ritchie
one.
Challenge.
Yeah, and it was just like straight
early
away.
On as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely early on. What I do want to mention as well is the protest. So it's been mentioned quite a bit, this protest. Apparently there was going to be a group handing out flyers going into the ground. I didn't see any. That's not seeing that.
They weren't,
because they definitely were, because you did see a handful of paper planes going onto the field.
Well, I don't know whether because the photos that I've seen or freeze frames or whatever of people that have posted has been like, it's all been in the Gallagher, the Leeds East Stand corner,
yeah,
like there in the kind of like lying on the,
yeah,
just over the advertising board, which proves the fact that I was saying last week of, yeah, that, you know, it just wasn't going to make it onto the pitch.
That was the
did
problem.
You see the banner that got held up?
No.
That was about the Premier League.
Against, Mags against Masters.
Masters,
like that. In that corner, the Gallagher.
Yeah, I saw that.
Leeds' East End corner. And it got lit up when it was in close on that. And straight away, the camera pulled, like, cut to a different one.
Yeah.
But then it was still just about to see at the top of the screen.
So it was just unfair, and yeah.
It would have been in the wrong, obviously, you know what I was saying, but obviously it would have been in the wrong place for us to see. Like, opposite kind of things.
It was like under the, like, probably adjacent to the scoreboard, but down the bottom row.
Did you hear the ticking along chants at all? Because I'm a big fan of that chant.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that chant.
It wasn't massively loud.
I hope this is the start of something.
It was just little people chiming. Like, we were having a little go of it. But
I've not heard this, but in my head, it's the tune of bobbing along.
No, it's just we're ticking along.
That was my original thought when people started mentioning the ticking along.
We're ticking along. We're ticking along. We're Newcastle. We're ticking along.
Yeah.
Oh, another one of the tune of Snoop Dogg, John B. Great.
So, yeah. That was my thoughts as well. So, like, bobbing along, sing a song.
Taking along.
You're on something there, like, on the bottom of the Premier League. That would be pretty good.
Song that Kevin will come up with, like, Shea Given. Years.
Come on, tell me about that. Hi, Kev, if you're watching.
It's Kev.
We back in France or something, probably.
I remember sitting in the Gallagher with him. It's like 20 years ago this now. And what was it? Whoa, Shea, I love you more than I can say. I love you even more tomorrow. That was it. It wasn't too...
What, he didn't even finish with, I love you more and more each day?
That was it. And it wasn't a tune. It was just Kevin. It was just like...
Him. Serenade and Shea.
Was he pissed at this point? It's Kevin.
Oh, it's Kevin. He would have been pissed.
Kevin would have been pissed. What was the other one?
You had another one?
No, this wasn't Kev. This was me, mate, Kieran. You know, remember Lazar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Christmas the
business, is that so? Watford's Lazar?
Spaceman Kim travelling?
No.
You know, Ashraf Lazar.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, you know, he was shit. No.
Next week, on the Gallagher Show YouTube channel, more songs.
Yeah.
Sorry. Perhaps we should instigate...
an album.
You is the official... songwriter?
Get us on the pitch before the piss.
You're the new fucking opera singer. Bring with the flag.
To be fair, get you in a black number, you could pass.
I'll be there. I can't know these. You see me pass.
What else I want to speak about? Obviously, we'll just touch on the protests and the paper planes and everything, but Sky Sports actually had fans on the build-up to the game. So I think it was 7:15 it went out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, well, we had a couple of lads from the Trust in there. We had Thomas on there. Thomas was on there. Alex, I don't think he's on the Trust anymore, to be fair. I think he left.
No, he did.
Alex and Norman from True Faith, and you had Holly, who was down at the protest in London as well. It came across really well.
All of them spoke really well. Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah. I was impressed with them all, yeah.
So everybody on social media that's talking about, oh, these podcasts hate each other. No, we don't.
No, don't. They did very well and well done all for them. Because
some of them are assholes.
Would have been. I mean, I know I speak so eloquently on this thing, but I'd have probably frozen up. Like if like and Trip, they were asking me about stuff, I'd just been like, Bruce out.
To be fair, though,
it's really hard. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
There was a fellow from BT got in touch with me once. Nice lad, he goes, oh, best you come have a word before one of the games. I need bother. So I turned up and he wanted to talk about Lauren O'Byrne. And I was like, so what do you want to say about Lauren O'Byrne? And I was like, well, number 32, didn't he?
Slush one.
That was pretty much it. he's on that pants. Yeah. And I just froze. It's so different. It's really difficult.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's why, well done to them guys. Like I said, taught the support really well. And I think they got, I think Alex in particular, when he spoke about Steve Bruce, when they asked about what could he do to win yours over, because I don't think, and he was like, well, winning games for starts. And then he went through the team and then he said he's only won 7 in the last 30 odd. And he goes, and you're telling me that's not his fault when we've got the players we've got at our disposal. And I think things like that, I think it's easy for Carragher and the Nevilles of the world to just be like, well, they're ticking along. You know, he's doing an all right job given the circumstances when we all know he should be doing better.
Yeah.
Well, it's facts. We don't just have these opinions, and this is the false narrative that you get in the media, is that, oh, well, they don't like Bruce because he used to manage Sunderland. They don't like Bruce. That's because he's Ashley's puppet. No, we don't like Bruce because he's shit.
The evidence is there.
Yeah. You look at his win, even before he came to the club, you look at the evidence that's there, his win ratios, his performances in the Premier League. It's everything points towards the fact that he's a terrible manager.
I didn't dislike him. When he got the manager's job.
No.
I just didn't think he was good enough.
Do you dislike him now?
I dislike him hugely.
We always talked about giving him the benefit of the doubt and wanting him to do well and stuff like that, because there was people that, as soon as he came in, didn't want him at the club. And like we said, give him a chance. Let's see what happens. But he's talked himself into the bad books because of the way that he constantly talks the team down.
He's penned himself into a corner, like.
Yeah.
Totally. So, he's made it. I'm not saying he's made it him against the fans, because he's kind of, but he's really embraced that. He's gone, right, it's me and them. Yeah. Different kind of sides. Mm. It's not like, come with me and I'll tell you what, I'll win you over. It's, you stop doing that because you're not being fair to me. And it's like, well, people have given a chance, we have. And I was really, really.
We used to get wrong for giving him praise.
I remember sitting upstairs in the Ashley a few times saying, oh, Bruce has got it right this week. Yeah. Like that. And it's just, I don't like him. And I was reading it, you know, Mark Lawrenson's predictions thing that he does on a BBC website.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Always against him.
It's terrible. Wrong.
Always hate him.
It's like Liverpool have never lost a game in 15 years or something. I was reading one, he did one with Richard Hawley, who was a guitarist in Sheffield, singer, songwriter. He was in Long Pigs, he was in Pubs a little bit. Anyway, Sheffield Wednesday fan. And it was Newcastle playing against Arsenal. Like he says, maybe in the first game of last season, play Arsenal, it was West Ham. Either way, it was a couple of years ago, played Arsenal. He says, I hope Newcastle can beat 8-0. And it's got nothing to do with Newcastle or 8-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. It's Steve Bruce, what he did at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they give him, I mean, I think he did had a good start with him, didn't he? But they give him extra time off when
his parents died,
which obviously was awful.
Yeah, obviously they were close because
I'm
married.
Yeah.
But to be fair, that doesn't always go hand in hand.
That's not a case for me. But yeah,
now the real pressure starts.
But yeah, like the dying, like, not long after one another, and it's horrible. And Sheffield Wednesday were brilliant, they said, because he left, I think the Villa got rid of him, didn't they? Mm. So they said, like, have a few months.
There was like 3 games left in the season or something, and then he said, well, wasn't there or not?
Did he want to go and, he wanted to go and watch a cricket in, like, India or...
They let him go on holiday, and I mean, and again, like...
Hold on a minute, he wanted to go on holiday?
Like, given the circumstance, you'd think, I mean, and again, fair play, Chef Wade, and, you know, I'm not against Steve Bruce for requesting that time off if he did, because it's an awful thing, and, you know, but they've given that time, and you know he ended up coming back. What was it, like 3 or 4 games, and then he's like, "Right, lads, I'm off to Newcastle." And I think they had an okay start as well, but
remember, he's not a quitter.
Yeah, well, he's done that six.
No, he's not a quitter. He said this.
Yeah,
so it must be true.
I just want to say thank you, Shane Saunders, for becoming a member. Thank you very much. If anybody else does want to become a member, helps us out massively. Oh,
thanks, Shane.
Is he lovely? Is he? Better than Bruce.
Hold on, didn't Shane used to be a member? Did he? Did he sack off and then come back?
Sean Saunders as well.
Sean and Shane.
And whenever Sean pops up in Telegram, oh, Shane, and it's not going to be, oh, sorry, it's just Sean, I put it down.
Yeah, so Shane, was that? Yeah, so Shane, you can now enter the Gallagher Shots Telegram group. Are you even part of the Gallagher Shots Telegram group? Do you know about it, but you just never joined it?
What? I know, but tell the viewers just in case they don't know about it.
All right, so
I know all about it.
Do you?
Yeah, but you do the thing.
So the Gallagher Shots Telegram group is...
Tell us all about it, Matty.
No, I'll let Chris do it.
It's basically for members that do become members of the channel. You get access to the group where we are all in, apart from Decker. Decker just never entered it. We'll have a bit chat on there. Now and again.
It's about normal, isn't it? Just Decker not turning up for things.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But yeah, thanks very much for joining as a member.
Special things happen in that group as well.
There is special things happening in that group, yeah. Yes.
I mean, I would know
about it. What do you mean?
I would know all about it because I'm in it all the time.
Yeah, but back to the likes of Carrigan Neville. Yes, they have the thing. Obviously, bringing Alex Hurst in. Alex always speaks well in front of camera. He always does when he comes on the likes of the radio shows. He knows he's a negative bastard as well. He can't be the most negative person in the world, but he's got reason to do so. And he speaks sense. And if somebody's going to go on camera and speak about the club, he's going to be my first choice every single time, to be honest with you. Because I'm not going, because they didn't record till later on the afternoon, so
we would have been pissed. Imagine them trying to talk to us at that time.
That brown ale bottle would have been gone.
Not a chance.
But yeah, great choice of people to have on there.
There was a lot of people spoke to us on Friday, though. That was nice.
Yeah, somebody told us that.
We have a lot of engagement.
Someone told you the studio was shit.
Yeah, somebody said that. Not the studio was shit. Somebody said that they didn't say the podcast was shit, but they came up and said, "Oh, lads, like, I love the podcast. Great content. I've been watching it like all the way through lockdown. But I preferred it when he was in the house because..." Yous are too nice to each other now. The studio.
The thing is, though, when we had lockdown football and all things were bad, but then we had a few strings of good results where you can actually sort of lock horns on some subjects. But now it's just a case of, we're shit. Well, I think we're shit. You're probably right. That's the extent.
We agree too much now, don't we? That's the thing. But no, we met a lot of members and a lot of viewers. So it was nice.
It's always good to have a big crack with people, to be honest with you, when you're out and about in town. I haven't been punched yet, which is a good thing. That'll come someday.
I punched you.
Did you?
When we scored.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought that might be part of it.
Well, it wasn't part of that. Punch to the left.
I sit next to my dad, though, and my dad's bigger than me. So
Mark knocked me yarring clean out. Clean out. But yeah, I've got the ring because Mark punched them out me lugs.
Literally just shattered, didn't he?
Yeah. Dollar was back.
Played brilliant. I thought he played really well. Really, really well. The goal, which I haven't even mentioned yet, I don't think. He was in no way a fall for, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
You can see him looking at it, he's watching it, and he's just anticipating a touch because he would.
Yeah.
Anticipate a touch. I thought he was at those one point in the second half where the ball went over the into the box, and Darlow was like, he was at Munchies or something like that. I don't know where he was.
he literally had a rush of blood and went flying out.
To be fair.
He's got that, and that's one of my things with Darlow, and I don't want to kind of, bless him. Like, he's got this thing where every game something's going to happen. Like Titus Bramble a bit. Bramble would be phenomenal for 89 minutes in 59 seconds. And one thing would happen. At least one thing would happen with Titus, in fairness. Not always on a football pitch either.
Jamal Lascelles has taken that mantle at the minute from him, hasn't he?
I think that's a very...
Which one are you talking about?
I've never seen Jamal Lascelles.
Yeah, we cannot do
on,
no...
On the football pitch. Right,
okay. Yeah.
And as far as I know...
That could be litigious. But yeah,
allegedly.
I like Donald Dawson. He's a good stopper. His kickings are fantastic. He's a decent goalkeeper. In that run he had in the team last season, I thought he, for the most part, he did struggle a little bit towards the end. He wobbled a bit before the Rafa came back. But he was fine. But it's just that one rusher that he has.
He got off to a good start, didn't he, when they had a chance early on and he got down to he's coming out and claiming the ball well and stuff like that. I think he just grew in confidence as the game went on.
I think he's probably the best shot stopper at the club.
You've got to remember as well, he has lost a stone and a half, so if he's going to go anywhere, I'd probably go to Munchies as well.
Maybe that's made him a bit more agile, being that a bit more lithe.
I ran past Munchies last Sunday, but I walked.
Did you go in?
Did you get in the wrong way on the Great North Run?
No, I went past there.
Is that where I went? I thought it went up Dobson Street and around the top.
I think Munchies is there.
There's two Munchies.
Which Munchies? Oh, do you mean the Munchies at Haymarket on that? I mean, next to the Civic.
I mean the Munchies on John Dobson Street. Because there's Munchies and Munchies.
And you
Munchies
telling us we don't argue?
No, Munchies is next to like Tesco's
Munchies,
and
that's Munchies too.
There's two Munchies.
That it's even called Munchies too.
Is it called Munchies too?
Aye, between
there's Munchies too and Munchies as well. Also Munchies.
Aye, like down from the like the Bulls and that and Tesco's and
formerly Scruffy Murphy's.
25 minutes of a man just talk about pizzas.
Really? No, Munchies. Is that definitely called
two Munchies?
Munchies too. I'm remembering now. There's one
on John Dobson.
It's not on John Dobson Street, is it? Is it not on the? Does John Dobson Street come up and along, like?
Before you get a Lookies.
It's on the side entrance. The five ones.
Sure, you're there, aren't you?
Ah, you're around like around the corner, heading towards Haymarket, opposite the Civic.
Oh, sorry, it's off John Dobson Street. Big pardon, after John Dobson.
See, I knew it.
Yeah, that's the one. Facing the uni. Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
There's a Greggs there as well, isn't there?
Aye.
Yes.
I was hard doing the run, going past Greggs, Munchies, KFC twice, McDonald's twice. I walked most of it.
Subway at the White Mare Pool as well.
No, I didn't go down there.
You went past that and come back on yourself. Yeah, but I didn't you? Had to go off. You could just slip down the slip down the little slip road, grab yourself a little subway, gone back up the subway up the slip road on the other side.
When I was coming, subway as well.
When I was coming back, like back towards like the halfway point type of thing. Walking past KFC, there was cut some masses. Walking past with a couple of buckets now.
What that would do in the run? Just getting stuck into a boneless bandwidth.
Really but by this point, me hand had turned purple because I've been watching too tight.
You're recreating fucking 127 hours. Just cut your fucking hand off.
My fingertips were purple, and I'm like messaging. I'm just walking. I'm messaging Amy, going like, I don't want to tell her this because she'll tell her to stop. I don't want to stop, but what happens if I die? And I didn't. I just lose my watch.
Well, I was going to say, would you not just like lose the use of your hand or something rather than die?
Just take your watch off, mate.
It's only like slowing down your blood circulation a bit.
Bloody because I was in a Fitbit competition with a couple of lads.
Well, how tight you could get it.
It was a very strange competition to be in.
Said I'd keep her on this.
Who's got the thinnest wrists?
The most high profile limb loss.
Yeah.
Right, we've gone way off as usual.
He was making a shit version of that film, you know, where the bloke gets stuck on his rock and he's got.
I've already said it, mate. I already made the reference, Mark, like literally 2 minutes ago.
What was that film that?
That's how long it took to do the Great North Run, man.
What was that film that?
You say James Franco will be very.
Yes, he's got him. Every time.
Was it a float of mid-train spot? Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this looks lovely, by the way. I've not seen this first as well. I wasn't that kid. I'll tell you, I've got to finish off my hand. See you later. Joe Harvey there.
How long was Bestie's maternity leave?
It's been 17 years.
Yeah. Bestie, was this? Yeah, last time you were here.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Didn't have a light.
Erect.
No, we didn't put that up for a while, did we?
It was that. It's quite a lot of bits new. I've noticed that you've mysteriously put a picture of Philippe Albert behind my screen. Still can't find him.
We'll put him there so you'd be able to find him.
Right. Let's move on.
Yeah, I don't even know back on
right,
the tracks.
Let's go to the goal, the Leeds goal, right? Is it Lascelles at fault on this one? Is it once again where Richie's just letting players do whatever the fuck they want?
Rich, I think you can't really point the finger at Richie. He's
leaving
anywhere.
Far too much space in those areas, and he has done for the last X amount of weeks.
It was quite deep, though, wasn't it?
Very deep.
It was
very deep.
Richie was nowhere near it because of the way the ball gets picked up.
Where's he supposed to be playing?
He was playing where he should be, left back.
In fairness, Richie being nowhere near it isn't exactly a defence.
No, but meaning as in he's in the back 27 line.
27.
The midfield wasn't there because, if anything, you kind of really blame him for this, but obviously Joe Linton was playing left side. But if you look where Joe Linton is, he's like right in the centre of the pitch. So it's for me, it's just one of them ones where it's a bit of a fluke goal. It's a very, very clever goal because he whips it into the box and it's made by the little dummy in the middle.
Dummy wasn't playing. Rodrigo.
Yeah, Rodrigo's dummy. He jumps over and opens his legs and... Well, as you say, it just means that the
marionette
Darlow's just left wrong footed, isn't it?
He's been let up the house, so he's just going for it.
I'm just really tired. I was on a drink last night.
Oh, you had a gig, weren't you?
I was out with Mark and they make you and I want to see
that. Yeah, we saw what Mark got up to last night on social media. He had a few too many.
I'm responsible for that. Like, so I got a couple of them, my guys.
But you're like, go on, Mark. Go on, Mark. Go on, Mark. Because your phone.
Who's your? you know that bald with the beard that was a podcast. I don't know.
Right, we conceded the goal, right? At that point, I'll come to you, right? At that point, do you think we're fucked?
I don't think, like, oh, we're going to get smashed 5 or 6 or anything like that, although we'll probably get to that fact that they had a lot of chances in that first half, especially near the end. But I just thought, well, we're getting beat. It's Newcastle all over. Leeds haven't, A, had a lead so far this season, and B, haven't won a game so far this season. So
I don't have a fit centre-back on the field.
Yeah, and we're still going to just let them just score a fluky goal and then not react. And I mean, to a certain degree, I guess we did react a little bit. I mean, there was points where we could have scored a couple of goals.
Well, in fairness, you've just seen there before the scored the goal, they could have. We had probably the two best chances. I'm just adjusting myself.
You'll be there, one of the two.
The thing is, people couldn't see.
I was just adjusting me shorts.
Is your foreskin rolled back
there? Oh, dear me, besties.
Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. Besties back.
What has he been on? Dear me, he's like giddy with excitement. But like before they scored that goal, we probably had the two best chances in that game with Richie hitting the post.
Was that before the score?
That was before. And then we had the one where Saint goes right up the touchline into the corner, skins a few and plays it across. Miggy swings at it, misses it, and then Joe takes a shot, which the keeper then saves.
I think Joe stalled that move.
So
do you not win the header?
Yeah.
On the left-hand side of the field.
Played so it out wide.
Because we've mentioned them, Jordan,
Matty's not allowed opinion on this.
I'm waiting for Matty. So Jordan, that's something Matty said in the group.
Back to Matty.
After the when Richie hit the post, he's like, I can't believe Joe Linton's not even gone for it. I'm watching again, and it goes completely opposite direction.
It goes nowhere near him.
Like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know.
It's not that, bestie, but it's just the fact that I've seen him so many times not follow shots in, and everyone says, strikers, I know he's not a striker, I should do it. But we're going to talk about Joe Linton, aren't we?
Go on, you carry on.
I'm not here to be like that Spanish football guy, rubbing my hands together, like ready to tear him a new arsehole. I know he's had a half-decent game. Like, he did. Like, I was kicking off in the pub with one of my mates. Like, said, Matty, to be fair, like, he's probably had one of his better games for us. And I was like,
Saint described it as outstanding.
But was it outstanding, though?
Saint said it,
like,
yes.
So?
I think Saint would, because him and Joe Linton worked very, very well together.
And I'm not saying that he didn't play well and he didn't work well together. It's just, I think we've got to a point now where if he does anything other than be dog shit or average, we're like, oh, he had a decent game, did the lad, like, and I think we've got a weird, like, sort of lens on him at the moment.
I don't think we've got a weird lens on him, but I think if you just look at that game as one game and not look at the past, you probably look at him thinking, it was
all right. But, like, I think I saw a couple of tweets and I agree with them. They weren't, like, being overly harsh or overly critical. It was just, you know, like, the chance he had, like, that's not a good save. Like, it's just not. You have to put that away. And then the one that Bestie's on about was just like, I was about 7 pints deep by then, like, but it's when Richie hits the post and I was just watching him.
I can't believe that stayed out.
I know, it was just literally millimetres to the right of the post would have went in, but like, you watch him, like, just he looks at Richie and then just looks at the ball going across and then just sort of goes, oh, and you want, like, your players at least following it in for a tap in, be hungry, have that instinct. I just don't think Joe Linton has any instincts.
I think the problem with goal scoring, when people talk about Joe Linton on Twitter in particular, because apparently Twitter nuance doesn't always really kind of come through. it's people are I had this thing with me dad didn't like Laurent Robert that much, and I loved him. So whenever Laurent Robert did something even mildly decent,
what did you love about him, Bestie?
Absolutely very good player. He struck a ball very well, scored a lot of goals. So he held the record at one point for the most goals and goal involvements in a season.
Do you know when you were talking about when you went on BT Sports to speak about someone and they asked you about Laura Burr and you said
32.
Yeah,
32 in his pants.
32 are growing their pants.
He's had 15 years to rehearse this answer though. To be fair.
Researching since, like,
yeah.
But I just loved him. He was such a It was a bit like Ginola, but different, because Ginola would, like, beat a man, whereas Laurent Robert would just, like, kind of beat the ball.
Yeah.
I was there the day he got those two goals against Tottenham, and, like, his body shape for the first one's pretty much exactly how you get told not to kick a football when you're a kid. like his legs, his boots, like where Chris's phone is more or less, the ball's where Matty is more or less, he puts in the top corner. So he was just a really exciting player to watch, and he was kind of a really important part of Robson's Newcastle. And I'm going to tell you, anyway, going back, that was my kind of example of Joe Linton, is it? I'm rooting for Joe Linton a bit. So whenever he does something that's all right, that isn't terrible, I'm like, oh.
But he's not Laurent Robert.
Here we go. Oh, no, he's not. He certainly isn't. But then, like, I think some people are really kind of, they just don't like, made their minds up, don't like him. So if something's like, that could have been a little bit better. It's not really. Yeah. And this isn't me. I know.
I sort of like, I don't sit on the fence with it. I am done with him now. Like, I just don't have any hope for him. I think he's hopeless. But like, it's not like I don't want him to see him do, and want to see him do well. And but he just has to do a bit more for me to go, bye, Joe Linton had a good game today. Like, because I feel like he just does sometimes. He just does the bare minimum or something a little bit more better, and people are like, oh, well, Joe Linton.
Harsh to say he did the bare minimum.
No, I'm not saying the bare minimum against Leeds. I'm saying he had a decent game against Leeds. I just think people can like inflate it a little bit because they're not used to seeing him do it.
But people will also do the opposite of that, where he has a decent game against Leeds and people go, I was shit in his last game. He's been shit in the game before.
There's loads of people that I've seen said he was shit on Friday.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that. I just, there was a couple of bits that frustrated me, especially that chance he had.
But you know, the St. Maximin thing, he was incredible. I forget what it was.
Outstanding.
I had a thing years ago where I remember thinking, you know, if you got like, it was when Jeremy was at the club, because this was the example I used, when he was warming up,
Beedle.
It would have been a good idea to give him a big hand, to have dug someone like Les Ferdinand just to warm up next to him. So people would cheer Les Ferdinand, and Jeremy would go like, oh, lovers.
Why was Les Ferdinand there at the same time?
No.
I was about to say.
14 years apart. Years and years later.
But we're 14 years apart.
Yeah.
What's Les doing today?
Yeah.
Les involved. Yeah. But former club.
Martins.
10, not
they would have been there at the same time.
Martins and Jeremy, no.
Nice.
Would have been.
Not yet.
Martins and Jeremy definitely were.
That 2 seasons.
Got relegated.
Right.
Jeremy scored his only goal in the next season against Huddersfield in the League Cup.
There you go.
You know.
That's why he's here.
Is that when Colaccini got sent off?
No. That was 4-3.
That's why he's here.
4-3 that game, 3-2 down. Came back. It was
Jeremy
was,
and Babiaro. That's what signed both of them from Chelsea.
Yeah, they were in the same team.
At the same time. Different time. Babiaro. Yeah,
because Souness was Babiaro on Souness?
Babiaro as well.
I think he made his debut against Yedden.
Jeremy was Allardyce's sign.
Yeah.
Jeremy came in that summer where they got like David Rosnar, Kasapa,
Enrique,
Amdi Faye. That was the same.
Abdoulaye Faye was.
Sorry, Faye. Abdoulaye.
Welcome to the Gallagher Shots Retro Show.
It's always good to reminisce, though, isn't it?
It is.
Reminisce about when we were shite then as well. Yeah.
This is just
all the
episodes of Time Machine we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
You mean extra time?
That's the one.
Yeah. Right. So moving on. Obviously, they get their goal. Blah blah blah. Joe had an outstanding game.
Had an outstanding fucking chance.
Corner saint.
He did link up very well with.
Leave it alone.
I was scratching my leg there.
Can you just get off your cock?
I'm touching it.
You get a bestie's cock. I don't know who's touching.
It's worn it out.
Put this on your jay.
But I thought his link up play and stuff like that with Saint was excellent. On Friday night, he was winning balls in the air. He was showing good strength. He had much more of an appetite than I've seen in recent games. And I think credit where credit's due. You've got to look at that performance and think he played well.
I mean, I think that it wasn't if he extrapolates if rest of the season plays just like he did on Friday.
If he what
extrapolates,
lovely.
I'm not too sure that's quite the right usage.
I don't even know what it means.
I'm lying on that.
Carries on, do you mean?
Takes stuff away from it.
It's extrapolates, it just kind of
builds on it.
You know, it's like
grows.
Yeah. But if he can do that over the course of the whole season, then
you're not extrapolating under that table, are you?
I would be happy. I would never say he's £40 million well spent, but that would be, I think he'd be worth his place in the first team. You think, oh, well, yeah, he's been all right as Big Joe.
Big Joe. Right, so, Saint. Once again, Saint pulls us out of the shit, as usual. Yeah. He's that sort of player where, first off, granted, he probably did have obviously the first 20 minutes of quite a game. I thought he's playing that weird striker role, that false striker role, which
hated.
And obviously, where Saint's best is, I know, but he picks the ball up on the outskirts of the box, and he just cuts across.
Yeah.
Something that was shown X amount of times. I think at that point, we're all screaming,
Joel Linton, shoot, set them up again.
Shoot, shoot. But he just keeps on going. And how that goes past the keeper, I've literally got no idea.
It's the angle. It's coming through bodies as well. I think it's when a lot of people, I think it's Chris Kamara always says the ball goes, no one goes through legs, if it comes through bodies or through legs, keepers see it so late. And he did it quite hard as well.
Mm. It was one of them where he sold one of the defenders or midfielder who right up the river because he just went sliding past them.
I think if you marshal up Bielsa though, you're fuming at that goal. Because it's literally, he'll have known, he's not daft, he'll have been like, this is all I've got. So he's going to be trying to get on his right foot. And they've shown him all the way across, and then he's just a good finish. I mean, he did it in the second half twice as well, and he scored a goal from it. So
yeah, it's basically that. So come through crowd players, and the goalkeeper seeing it so late that's already passed.
He's got an eight chance because he's following it across, isn't he?
Mike says when it comes through the sea of legs, a forest of legs like that. You think
forest of legs?
I think it only went through one leg.
One leg, just one dangled leg. Just going past the leg. But yeah, you kind of blame the keeper. It's a good hit. He does really well to kind of, he dummies a couple of times, and the defenders are kind of. I like him. I like it. Some maximum.
Thanks, mate.
There's a player in there, isn't there?
He might do all right.
You never know.
It's just so strange that. I think we mentioned this before on the podcast, you go back to when we first signed him, when we first rumored to be signing him. The rumors that we're hearing is that he's got no end product.
All roll, no sausage.
And that he's a bad influence.
But do you not think he's learning?
Where did that come from? I recognize that.
I've just said it loads and hoped it.
I know
it
broke.
He's had sausage.
All roll, no sausage.
I knew it broke. He's dead now. Who got barred out with club and shields for having a sausage roll with no sausage in it.
Not bad out of it for having it.
You went to Greg's. Oh, sorry, you went to a well-known, reputable local baker.
Dixon's.
They're not bakers.
They do baked goods.
They do pies
and sausage rolls and that.
This is one for Toon Pools, right? So, leave if you're listening. The next Toon Pool has to be is Dixon's, a baker's or a butcher's.
Predominantly, it's a butcher's.
I'd say it's more of a delicatessen.
Well, you've only got a choice of two. You said bakers.
No, because it sells like. I know it's. What's I'm going to say, like cooked meats and that, which typically a butcher might sell. But would you not say a butcher would be more
sells meat,
sausages and steaks and chicken
meat
and stuff like that.
Meat,
all of which you
raw meats.
Meat
rather than.
And of course, Dixon
cured meats
sausages that you can just eat straight out of Savoy's.
Savoy's, yeah.
They're still cooked.
Do breakfast too.
Anyway, I want to hear about this rogue sausage roll.
A fellow called Rocky was a taxi driver living in South Shields. He I worked at the Sag's Head in South Shields. I put it really
lovely
well.
Bar.
I used to love the Sag's. I loved it. And at 6 o'clock, we had to ring the bell, and that was Rocky's cut-off point. Like, great, now gremlins, like, you don't feed after midnight. You don't give Rocky a drink after six. Because he'd go berserk. And he used to drink in the Mile End Club, which hasn't been there for years now. It was good.
Why was it called that?
Well, because it was on Mile End Road.
Oh, right.
And my mate was a fellow I used to work with, Phil Mullen.
Why was he called that?
100 stories about Phil. Like,
lovely that, Phil.
Oh, no, this is, you know, Phil Mullen. I think his son's called Phil Mullen.
I know his son.
Sausage roll, get in the sausage roll, for fuck's sake.
Anyway, Phil was either running or working in the Mile End Club at this point.
Rocky Which Phil? Up. Phil Senior. Senior or Junior?
Senior. Junior. So Rocky puts his sausage rolls on the bar, goes to the toilet, pint of Carl and Phil, cancer toilet. So Phil poked the sausage out of the rolls, ate it, wrapped everything back up, put them in.
I love it.
Rocky, pastry, goes to Greg's, plays Holy Hell, Bard.
William Wood?
Oh, I love it.
He got barred from Greg's?
I thought you meant he got barred from the pub.
That's what it sounded like. I thought that the poor lad's probably just been like, there's no sausage in me roll.
I thought you were...
Right, get out.
I remember.
You're a mess.
Rocky again.
Did you say he was barred from a pub at the very start?
I'm sure he did. Barred up
Greg's. I remember him and his pal coming to Stags one afternoon when I was working there. And they picked up these two glasses and like Asda or something. I didn't know, had that bags of shop with them anyways. And he's gone, he comes to Barn Guns, Junior. My dad was Bessie's old junior. Julia.
Julia, it's a funny name. Julia.
But I was always, we have been called Junior. I feel like an Adams Family character. So I was like 6'5".
Junior.
Oh, Junior. Hello, Junior, you having a... He says, how much are you smearing off ice? I was like, I'll put 250. give her half a lager. Like 75 pence or whatever. Anyway, they're sitting there, absolutely clattered. Rocky's pal fell at the fireplace. Rocky guns for a piss. And I'm watching these two lasses and I'm going through that shop and nicking that cheese slices and stuff like that.
Robot cheese. It was a robot cheese.
Craft
I love the fact that this story came from St. Maxman. This situation
is all your fault.
I swear to God, there's still people in the comments talking about St. Maxman.
She's just snorted
at the butchers.
Rocky, there's one time.
Rocky Chronicles?
He comes up with some guns there. Oh, Junior, I see you. I'm getting you. What you seeing this?
It's the Rocky Horror Shows.
I says, aye, nice, Rocky. Guns. Aye, it's made by Quartz. They're great, then. Aye, Rocky, that's a fella. Bless him, Rocky. Rest in peace, mate.
Is Rocky still with me?
No, it's a sad stuff, yeah.
Oh, he was on the win that you... We're moving on.
So St. Maxman, when we were going to buy him, a lot of people said he had no end product.
And that he was a bad egg.
There was an arrogance about him, yeah.
Some may say he was a
raw. One time Rocky bought his
I've got
no stories.
But as I was saying, do you not think it's because he's actually... He's now matured into the side and actually, like, as Callum Wilson like said the other week, like in his interview, he's like, you know, they start talking him about doing the simple thing more often.
Getting the foot up his ass.
Looking for the pass rather than just trying to take 30 players on just because he can.
You know how a lot of people kind of...
He's gone.
People say that, like, Longstaff hasn't progressed as they thought he would do because Bruce has ruined him. I saw the opposite... Point made about St. Maxman saying, well, he's a far better player now than he was when we first signed him.
I thought when we first signed him, I wasn't too sure. Like, I remember he made that debut against the friendly. He did really good in that friendly at home. And a lot of people were like, oh, we got here. And then Arsenal didn't do much. I think the Spurs game, I think he came on, got injured. And then he couldn't seem to get it going. And then we started seeing a little bit at the end of that season. Yeah. After the COVID break, and then he's kicked on from there. And
yeah,
I mean, I do love him. Like, he can be, I've said on this podcast before, he can frustrate me a little bit, but I think he's got license to when he's got the quality. He's basically carrying the club at the moment when Wilson's not there.
He's still got it in him to do those frustrating times. There was times in the game on Friday where he did just hold on to it for too long and trying to, I think it was one late on second half where he gets it and he, There's two across the other side of the goal, and he goes for the shot rather than passing and stuff like that, which was
a different game.
But then there was another one from the other side, from the Isan side, where he tries to take from a ridiculously tight angle, and the keeper has to pull off a great save. So I think it's you're going to have to take it with him. From time to time he does make stupid choices and doesn't take the easy pass, and he will try and take on that extra player and do two step overs instead of just one. And
I don't think that's something that you exclusively have with him. I think you look at players that are more successful clubs, players that are perceived to be far better, and it's a criticism you see made of them quite often, although they're a bit single-minded. I really wish it sounded the wrong band there.
I really
hope he'd sing Deep and Blue or something like that. but no, you retain the dignity. So, for the dance. But no, so Maximin is. But I think if you take that away from him, I thought the same with Rooney, where you had this thing with Rooney where he wouldn't just take the position, he'd come back, you see him filling the left back all over the place. But if you take that away from him, then you're taking a lot of his game away. And so Maximin, he's going to make those strange, sometimes apparently selfish decisions. But if a defender isn't expecting him, if he becomes predictable, basically, it becomes easier to play against. I'd rather he did that. I'd rather he was put the wrong ball in. Sometimes I had a shot from stupid angles, like Laurent Robert.
Just let him get on with it, basically.
Yeah.
Because
It's frustrating. Like, it's frustrating, but that comes with
at some
having
point,
a talent
that
like him.
Sausage yeah. will come.
Yeah, the sausage has been well and truly there. I would say, like, you know, but no, I don't think he's one of the all role no sausage players. He's not Remy Cabella anymore. He's a sort of he does deliver and he takes players out of games like in like, you know, handfuls when they're trying to.
So there's definitely kebab meat in his wrap now.
He's massively. Yeah,
there's another one for you.
Thanks.
Can we talk about one thing as well though? Mm-hmm. And come at the end of the first half. What the fuck when they broke and it was like 4-2 God,
right at the end
and they literally
it was like when Junior made that horrendous miss.
Well, Rafinha had all the time in the world to he set himself for seemed like 5 seconds.
Did Richie give him all
that? That actually came from a Saint hanging on to the ball too long and trying to take it out.
But why were we got all robbed the and pitch, then though? Why were we all at the, I don't get that. So it seems like as much as we're a very defensive side with no plan going forward and we just kind of aren't Saint Maximin. There's been a couple of instances, like West Ham when we lost the third or fourth goal, and it was like, why is three centre halves up the pitch? Yeah. This isn't even from a set piece.
We did have a hell of a lot more players getting forward. Yeah.
Why does it have to be the centre halves? I mean, it makes no sense. Yeah. It's crazy. So that baffles me. And again, you know, you have to point at the coaches or the manager. But yeah, I just don't know how that didn't go in. And then yeah, that
it was the second one.
The miss where it's literally just a tap.
Darlow saves it from.
I think there's a block as well. There's a block in there as well. Yeah,
but the last shot, he skies it over from 6 yards out.
That's two home games in a row we've seen that.
Yeah. He's a player that he was a Betis for a bit. I'll see what happens. He went to Barca. He's got his move now. And he was shit. Mm-hmm. He was shocking. He was worst player on the pitch on Friday. He was terrible. There was one point where they broke. It might have been at the start of what we've just been talking about, when they broke him. And he carried it forward. And I think I would have gone about the same pace as him. I think for a young, he's only 21, 22 year old, maybe slightly older than that. But he's a young lad. Playing fullback in Premier League, haven't played about anything. Why aren't you quicker than that? I think it's meant to be Stephen Carr. He was like that for us. He was so slow. he looked slow and he was slower again. Was Stephen Carr.
Going backwards.
And he was bald for no reason. He could have peed the hairline. He shaved his head. He didn't
oh, I hate them people.
I don't mind the bald lads. I've got no into bald lads.
Thanks.
Not all the bald lads.
Not all of them. Some of them.
But I don't trust someone who shaves their head. They don't need it.
What about somebody that's got a head of hair but then wears a fake bald cap thing to make themselves
what was all that about?
That was so strange.
Has anything been confirmed about that?
Was it a European Champions League game, wasn't it?
Simon Brook, one of his studs.
I just got tackled so hard his scalp fell off.
It was madness, wasn't he?
He immediately grew hair.
He was tackled so hard, he grew hair.
Turned into a chia pet.
It literally pings off as well.
I think it's when it's swimming.
It's like plastic band ping.
That's what it's like, isn't it? A swimming cap.
I remember on TFI Friday years ago, Ushing with
bandana, the do-rag thing.
And there was a thing on TFI Friday where they put them on and try to take them off using their eyebrows. So they'd sit there just go like.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was like he'd done that and successfully managed to kind of.
That could be the next one.
Do you reckon he was. Do you reckon he's been bald and he's had one of them like hair transplants, but he doesn't want people to know yet?
No, because so when you've had a hair transplant, you're not allowed to put anything on your head. You've got to let your head breathe.
Is that why you wear your cap all the time?
Well, because I haven't had a hair transplant.
Had a reverse hair transplant.
I might just not tell people it's a bald cap I'm wearing. What I wanted
madness what? That wasn't it.
What
the bald cap thing?
Oh, just talking about
back
with
for a second day.
I thought you were Stephen Cole.
Madness didn't write it, Fred.
I know. I thought you were talking about the group.
Look how they wound up.
Madness. No, madness has definitely got hair.
Sugs.
Speaking of which,
madness.
We saw madness on the touchline between Steve Bruce, Graham Jones, and Matt Ritchie.
Yeah.
What is going on?
That was so strange. Like, it was, you know. That picture that was on that went viral a couple of years ago, the two youngins in a nightclub in Scotland, and he's talking to her, and she's like,
Yeah.
It reminds us of that. Like, Bruce is just trying to. Oh, mate, not
he tries.
Richie's the last as well. Like, because he's only looking at Graham Jones.
Yeah.
And he's just sort of like, it seems just as if, like, I don't want to listen to you. I might be wrong. I might be totally wrong. Like, yeah. But
I want to play his devil's advocate slightly here. Is that part from Graham Jones as well?
Well, didn't this brought about the formation change? Is that correct?
Yes.
Apparently so, yeah.
This is when he said, right, you're staying back. You stay back. I'm going to go bring Hayden up. So I was reading the match report thing on UFC.com. They said they talked about these pictures and said it led to the formation change. And I don't know whether he's just, and maybe I'm, this is me just wishful thinking, that Steve Bruce takes about 10 words to say too. Like, instead of, you know, he's probably going, what you need to do,
well,
is,
you
probably,
know, Matt.
Probably need to do, Matt, is, and then Graham Jones probably just went, you there, Rich's going to go there. Hayden's going to go there. That's what we're doing.
Basically a
circle. And he's probably just thought, we've got, it looked like it wasn't like, we didn't have enough time. So he's just thought, right, and just talks over Bruce. Mm. Bruce shoots him that little look, I thought, as well, as it was say, like, sort of like, well, I'll just sit back. But maybe I'm just wishing that he's...
See, I don't know. I think, like,
we're going to read it a lot,
documented that Bruce isn't a tactical man and that kind of thing, and that he leaves that side of things, particularly the attacking side of things, to Graham Jones. Yeah. So I'm thinking he's talking about how he wants the team to move and go into those positions, because then people kind of then picked up on the bit where right at the end where, like, Bruce goes no, but like watching that, everybody's going, oh, is he saying no because, like, Jones is saying that. But to me, watching that right at the end, Richie asks something to say it, and Bruce goes, no, it's not that. And then Jones comes in with something again. So it's
no matter which way you look at this,
arguing over,
still doesn't come across
it. It doesn't at all. And Graham Jones was sat watching the game in the stands, and he came down 15 minutes in, and he came down and changed. It was Hayden.
Hayden went into midfield. Went into a four. Yeah. Went into 4-2-3-1.
I don't understand this setup right now. I really don't. I've tried, and I thought, right, it might be like Bruce said when he was on BBC Newcastle. One thing that he did say was that Bruce was in charge of defensive side of things,
which were terrible. Jones, at.
Yeah, Graham Jones was in really charge of attacking formation and getting the field, the team further up the field. I can't figure it out. I really can't figure it out. And there was people in the comments, because it was my pal that sent us a video, and I put it on social media, why we're in St. James's Park. And obviously the video went mental. But I think it was West Brom fans. Did he have a spell at West Brom, Graham Jones?
Yes. Yeah, they were saying that
this is exactly what
this
he's
is what he
West
was
Brom.
Like and what, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, I was just saying, I think he only managed Luton, didn't he?
Yeah, and
terribly.
Yeah, there was a few fans from different clubs saying this is Graham Jones arrogant. Yeah. That and it was fans that just didn't appreciate what
Craig
he was Hope's doing.
Piece. Dwight Gayle called him out on the training pitch, didn't he? He said, it's all about you since you came back from England.
Was that after the last recording? That it must have been after the last recording. So Craig Hall comes out and releases that article, which says there's been a bust up, another bust up on the training. I'm not bossed about in-house fighting. I'm really not. I don't mind to say it. It'll probably happen
when
the cells
dig Diame and
class
player out of them.
Exactly.
It was never an issue, was it? It was
just, somebody needs to give him a dig these days.
The thing is, though, is apparently the words which were said were, it's not always about you, Gailey. That's what Jones said to Dwight Gayle. You got to understand, Dwight Gayle's pissed off. We're going into X amount of games needing goals, and Dwight Gayle's just sat on the bench. Somebody that Steve Bruce wanted to sign at every single club that he's been at. Mm. And he's not giving him any game time, which baffles us. But then obviously the retaliation from Gayle was, well, it's always been about you since you got back from England. I can honestly imagine Graham Jones walking about and saying, well, when I was away with England, Harry Kane was doing this, like, to Dwight Gayle. You can see some arrogance in there.
I wonder if Gayle was at West Brom then when he was there. Because
he was at Wigan. He was at Belgium with Bill
Martin. He was for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was probably a while ago he was at West Brom.
I mean, there was a comment after after the game, I think, and they asked him about Dwight Gayle. I've just got it up there, and I'll only read a little bit. Like Bruce said, I'm sure he will be frustrated. Well, I know for a fact he is. So he's like, correct that.
Well, that's good.
That's good. He says it's maybe because of the system or what, but I mean, I've always thought Dwight Gayle looks okay when he comes on. He's not exactly going to do Wilson-esque, but he's at least going to get in the box.
I mean, like, I know I said before about the fact that Joe Linton and Saint linked up for well in the game, which they did, but Saint did his better work when he was out, and as we know and we talk about all the time, is when he was out in the wider positions, playing on the wing where we like to see him rather than through the middle. And given the fact that you've got Gayle sitting there on the bench, not getting in the team, who isn't out and out striker, why wouldn't you play him and put Saint on the left and put Gayle through the middle?
I think it was at one point we were in the ground saying that we don't have a striker on the field. Yeah. We're unsure why Gail wasn't getting brought on. I think was it Fraser that made another return?
Fraser came on for Almiron.
Murphy came on, and I thought Murphy was once again pretty direct.
Busy.
There was that one, he picked it up from the edge of our box. Late
on, like, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right at the end. Maybe in injury time. Yeah,
for someone whose confidence was absolutely shattered when he first arrived at the club.
Thanks,
Dan. And he was very, to be fair, like, he was poor. He really was poor when he first came to the club.
I still think you saw games where he grew into the team. I remember they got beat 4-1 at Old Trafford. And I think that might be one of the last games before he got dropped. Mm. But for me, that was one where Murphy really seemed to kind of, I thought, right, he looks, in spite of the result, he looks good. Mm. He looks like he's got something here. And then he didn't play, he went to West Brom.
Yeah.
Wednesday as well, wasn't he?
Wednesday.
Yeah, that's where he was with Bruce, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But I thought, he's not a defender, is he? So, I mean, he's been playing wing-back towards the back end last season. I think, I'd like to see him going forward a bit more, but then that's not how he plays it, you know?
Nah.
Do you drop, you certainly wouldn't drop St. Maximin for him, you wouldn't drop Almiron for him. You wouldn't.
Well, that's what you'd have to do, wouldn't you? So, you'd have to drop Miggy and play him on the right of that. For the 4-2-3-1, wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why we aren't playing that formation. Yeah.
It's what we've been asking for.
It's when back end of last season we played it and we did well. We came getting into start again. The results we saw on a Friday when we changed to it. And I mean, to be fair, you look at that game on Friday, and if you're a neutral watching that game, it must have been fantastic to watch because. Mm-hmm. Both teams were just absolutely steaming forward at any given opportunity. But it was two teams that just could kind of defend and, as it turns out, kind of bloody score. But what was happening in between of it was exciting to watch. Back and forth, exciting on the break and stuff like that. But it's just, it plays to our strengths playing in that formation with the players that we've got. And you
square think, pegs, square holes, man.
Let's take the players that we've got, because the players that are playing in the team could go adapt into that formation very, very easily. Mm-hmm. Longstaff's getting a good run of games. I don't think he's getting much praise on how he's improved in weeks. Again, he's not pulling up any trees, but he's definitely getting
better week on week.
So, you know, a bit of game time, his fitness is coming back. Him and Hayden in the middle of that too, and then your three in the middle, whether you go Saint left, Miggy in the middle, and then Willick, or whether you have Fraser there or Murphy.
The full team,
You've got plenty of options in there, and then at the minute we've only got one option up front, which is Gail, who's not even getting the game until Wilson comes back in. So play to the strengths of the players that you've got available there.
100% agree, man.
Steve, listen to us.
I'm gonna start winding this one down. Is there anything else which yous want to touch on before we call it a day on this one?
I don't like seeing Leeds United in lavender.
Right. Okay.
Leeds away shirt for me should be blue, green, or yellow.
Yellow.
None of this.
Yellow for me.
Yellow.
That would have been a canny Leicester away shirt, not Leeds.
I quite like the shirt, but not on Leeds.
Yeah, exactly that.
Didn't Real Madrid have a very similar kit
recently? Yeah, that. Yeah. One of his last kits for them, I believe. But the Leeds, the away kit last year was like a green and blue stripes. It was belt that was really, really smart, yellow piping.
Took you back to the Thistle Hotel.
Very much so.
If anybody watching does want to film the last 5-10 minutes, if you do have any questions, just
get some questions in. Yeah, let's have some
Steve
questions.
Bruce has said, though, that he's, you know, after the way it seemed to work, changing the formation. And there was a quote, I won't get it up, but it's something along the lines of, you know, we've always had this. It's important we have the ability to change things up. It's like, well, that's rich coming from you, considering you've persevered with this formation for so long. And then he said again as well, just need that bit of luck. To be honest, Steve, it was lucky that we didn't concede 3 or 4. Yeah. So as much as we've got a result, which he was apparently ecstatic with, like, you're saying we don't have the luck?
Well, that was
you've just seen a kid sky 1-0 from 4 yards after his mates had 2 chances in front of goal. Like, that's luck. I know it's grafting, getting the blocks in, but other days they go in. Southampton, you said as well, we've had Southampton player miss from 3-4 yards out. I think he's getting plenty of luck.
We did have Richie hit the post as well, though, so we we're having it. I think it was one of those games that could have just went either way.
Oh, I get
both
that.
Both teams, if we could have finished better, could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was telling what you were just saying there about Bruce, where he thought when he was saying he was very pleased.
I think it was Daryl.
Bielsa said the complete opposite.
So Daryl put the screenshot in the group. It was on social media. I can't remember who found it, but it was on social media with the two comparisons.
Bruce ecstatic with point, and then it was like Bielsa not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's like
what you should be saying.
The fact that he's the away coach as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
There's a question for you, Mock, from Julie Baker here. You had the pleasure of meeting on Friday evening. Where did you meet, by the way? Old George?
George, the George courtyard.
And she says, how long were you critical?
At least until mid-afternoon Sunday.
So I messaged you in the Telegram group.
Not Sunday, Saturday, sorry.
So
Saturday.
Members of the channel, you get invited to this Telegram group. And I mentioned, because I think on Friday night you said that you were going to go out on the bike on Saturday.
Did
you ever make it out on the motorbike?
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
Did you make it off the sofa?
Briefly to go back to bed for a nap. No, I was in a bad way on Saturday, to be fair, but I blame Julie.
How long did you spend a little while with you there?
Good few hours, I think.
Did you go Pop World with you?
No, didn't. We didn't actually make it to Pop World.
Right.
Remember Boom 90s, but
no.
Yes.
Oh, he was 52. Yes.
It's only 10 years ago, was it? It's like a very recent bar.
What's it called? It's called like Stereo or something now, isn't it?
Stereo. It's the one
opposite the Rose and Crown.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
I once got set upon in Boom 90s bar. About 20 blokes dressed as Santa.
All right,
in July,
it was all they did that thing, you know, when one of them lies down behind you and they push you and you fall over.
Yeah,
they did that. Made me miss
to you.
I made me miss Beth Phil anymore.
How many were behind? Four of you to trip you over. Bloody hell,
Phil's a big lad, but Phil's like, I'm not a fighter at all, so it was never in my
especially against Santa.
And I was thinking, I don't want to be kicked the shit by 20 blokes just as Santa. So I was like,
that would have been the shittest sequel of
Christmas ever.
The shittest sequel of Santa Claus, the movie. Yeah. Just Bessie having a fight in Stereo or whatever it was.
Sounds like something out of Die Hard.
But it was a really good part.
It is a Christmas film.
It is.
You're getting wrong for not speaking in your mic now.
Not too far away.
Yeah, sorry. You're getting wrong off that.
That's right.
You know what it is? The thing with Bruce and Graham Jones, that we mentioned it earlier on about kind of how it was Richie Jones and Bruce. I've never known a manager, and this might probably is a little bit sympathetic to Bruce. I've never known a manager whose interactions with his team or his coaching staff have been scrutinized as much as Bruce. I don't like Bruce.
But I know what you mean.
It feels like people are looking for things that might not be there with
it. It's got the point where we dislike him that much, we're going to try and find anything there. But I think with the reason that magnifying glass is there is because of that fact that brought Graham Jones in the first place. Yeah. And it sort of brought some results for a little while, then it went bad and then it went back to being good again. But people are always going to think about that and what's the... Because that's been a real... The pub talk, the cliche things that get said... Some people always got me, I think after work that's getting done, Zach Graham Jones, you know.
The big point though, because nobody ever picks up on the fact when Steve Agnew is standing on the touchline giving instructions to the players, when he's the one passing stuff on and talking to them and stuff like that.
Whenever you see it,
you definitely do. As you just said, he wasn't down on the touchline until. You know, into the second half or whatever it was. So
it was the 13th minute.
It was really early on.
It's
one of the questions is from Paul McManus that says, "What do you lads make of Almiron during the game and his dive?" I'll come to you too because you watched it on television.
Is that what he got booked for?
I can't remember a dive, but obviously in the ground it's hard to see. So if anybody wants to remind with the dive, I can't remember it, to be honest.
There was one where he went over someone's foot, and he didn't. He literally went over about a foot.
No, I remember it now. Breaking, yeah.
He did get booked. He got booked not for the dive, but for
protest descent.
It was descent. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't even.
It was a bad dive. I remember. Yeah, because
Almiron's got that in his locker.
Yeah,
though.
He does. He gets. Oh, yeah. Infuriates me as I've seen him get booked for diving a handful of times, and you saw Ronaldo. Technically dive twice at the weekend and not get any repercussions. Just kicking off. But
there's a question from Jordy USA that says, are we getting a Gallagher Shot live stream for the cat case?
Thank you.
No, sadly not.
The cat case?
I would rather eat cat shit.
Yeah, so this is a question that I was going to ask you.
Cat food.
I asked Roger this.
Cat food.
The other night. Oh, yeah, so I'll come to you.
I know my answer.
What's the question?
If you had to eat cat food, would you prefer it in gravy or jelly?
Gravy. I always remember those 90s cat food, like whiskers. And you know, like when they used to cut it open, like as if they're trying to make it look delicious to us.
Yeah.
Like, and they do it with Caesar's dog food as well. Like, they get a fork and be like, "Oh, M&S style
jelly."
And you just be like, "Oh, horrible. Jesus Christ, what's in that jelly?"
Would you eat cat food, like pet food? Like,
do you know?
We're not doing a live stream of that either.
Here's an interesting fact for you. Cat food and dog food, as long as you get good quality one, are actually very highly nutritious and have better cuts of meat in it than a lot of cheaper human food that's made for consumption.
Human food
fucking stinks. So, and all that.
I have eaten cat food before.
Tuna.
Kitty cat.
Taylor went
to Dreamies. Tickles. That was his last get him in from the pub. Just shakes Dreamies.
Yeah, misty.
He comes in with his little bell around his neck. Lies on his back again. His belly scratched.
Murder
getting
through the flat
wall. Didn't stop you twice, did it?
No, when we were kids, Taylor's had a cat called Chloe, and I was around him.
Called what?
Chloe.
Chloe.
And had a black and white cat. And yeah, I've eaten cat food. It was chocolate, though. It was white chocolate.
Cat food.
It was basically just Milky Bar buttons, but with a picture of a cat on it.
Oh, was it like a Christmas?
Oh, no.
Was it
one of
them Christmas stockings? Why do you get them at Christmas? Stockings for your cats and dogs.
So part
why
of not?
Family?
Family?
Kitten mittens.
Just kitten mittens?
Kitten mittens? Yeah. What's a kitten mitten?
A mitten for a kitten?
Mittens for kittens.
So they can walk over your table, like, quietly.
I'm going to get some of them for Doris. Christ.
Doris is a dog?
I know. Can you get...
They're actually higher quality mittens than a lot of human mittens.
I've heard that. Depending on the cut that they've been made of the cloth.
Cashmere.
I'm with you, Matty, though. Gravy.
Gravy.
Got to be gravy.
Gravy or jelly?
I don't even like...
pineapple jelly?
I don't even like... What's it called?
Strawberry jelly.
What? Grosvenor pie. You know when you get a Grosvenor pie? It's got all that jelly around the outside. Oh, that's not for me, that.
Aye, there's no worse when you get, like, when you go to, like, a funeral and have, like, the buffet afterwards and you get into one of the pies and there's just jelly in it.
When I got married, right?
We've gone from funeral to besties weddings.
The person died.
When I got married, I was stood. I got married in Cheshire, the hotel.
Did you say I was stood?
And I was stood by the bar, and it was like a kind of staff room door at the side. We left. I'm stood. I'm drinking, talking to Taylor, whatever. And someone comes out with like this 3-tier pork pie, like massive thing. I think some lucky bastard's got loads of meat.
It's a wedding cake.
Completely forgetting that it was my wedding. That's for me. Because I got married in Cheshire, I wanted to have, I had like a buffet a bit at night time and stuff. And I wanted to have like either a little bit of Savoy or something, or like just something from the north.
From that baker.
From the famous baker that sells all their meats.
I love it when we go full circle.
Mum and Dad had paid for a Dixon's wedding cake. So the bottom was, a gala pie with egg in it.
And what's that, Grosvenor? Well, it's not Grosvenor, it's like the square one, isn't it? It's pork in it, and then it's got the egg, but it's got like all the way through, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not like one long egg.
Are you sure?
Compressed, like stretched egg.
Egg into like a long, like a toilet roll tube. Elongate it and squeeze it.
Right, carry on your story.
This was many eggs.
Damn.
You sure?
In the base of the pie.
Did you slice it into bits to see that there was many eggs?
The middle layer was a pork pie kind of sandwich with Branson pickle in the middle of it.
Oh, nice.
And the top one was just like deep baked scabby. It was lush. But I had a proper wedding cake as well with a carrot cake and tier carrot. And
you could have decorated the top of cake. You could have decorated the top tier with scotch eggs.
Well, I didn't know what was happening. I had no intention of doing that because I did not know about it until I saw it and then didn't realize it was mine.
Well, that's a tip for anybody that's getting married soon, Matty.
But I mean, is this gravy, could you dip your bread in it?
No, it's just like
kind of like brown jelly, basically.
Yeah.
Nah.
So brown jelly.
Brown jelly.
The choice is either chocolate jelly. Cat food with
jelly.
Non-fruit jelly.
Transparent
jelly or brown jelly.
Yeah.
Flavoured. Gravy flavoured jelly.
I'm going for gravy.
I think we might have to try, you know.
I'm not trying it. I'm not eating it. I'm allergic to cats. I'm allergic to cats, and it might.
I tell you what, Ryan. I'm allergic. I tell you what, I'll try cat food if Joe Linton scores 5 league goals this season.
Has he scored any yet?
No.
Hence.
5 league
goals. Has anybody scored this season other than Saint?
He's never. He's what?
Has anybody scored for us other than Saint?
George Foggan says the next Man United video. When's it coming out? We just did one with Matty before we went live there tonight.
Bet you're good at it. It's mine, mate.
There's another one coming out. Adam Pearson was here in the other weekend as well. He's going to come out as well. So there's a few to come.
He's going
to
come out?
There's a few to come.
His video is going to come out.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You hope that's it?
You hope
hope.
It. I kind of hope.
Hope.
I think that's it. So I don't know. We'll obviously be back next Monday. Mark's going to stag do. 5-day stag do to Benidorm.
Does that mean I have to come back?
No, because he's going to be back maybe.
I'm back. I'm here in the country on Monday.
Right.
Okay. Judging on how bad I was on Saturday morning, I might not be in any fit state to be here on Monday night.
Have a what, bestie?
I was good. It was a nice note. I was going to say, have you done a podcast since Roger became a dad again? That's nice news.
Yes.
Yeah, Roger was here.
Leeds preview.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Substantially shorter paternity period than me.
He did. He was straight back on it.
Yeah, Roger done with preview for.
Roger didn't take the piss.
Leeds game. Leeds game. He said he would also have the cat food with gravy.
Yeah. I've got this thing, right? You know.
That's because he thought that you meant when you said jelly, he thought you meant like a sweet jelly, like a cranberry sauce.
I told him it wasn't.
Or did he mean like a
cranberry sauce is more sour than sweet?
Cranberry sauce jelly.
You could have cranberry. That's like
a jelly.
No, I'm talking about the one that you get jelly? In the cubes and you put the boiling water.
Like a trifle jelly.
A cranberry juice jelly. Who has that?
What's that? Royal jelly. What's that made out of? Royal jelly? Because that's like a
swans
thing that you put on. You have it like with your dinner jewels. And that, don't you? What's it called? Not is it royal jelly? Is it mint flavor?
I don't care. Right, I'm stopping.
Is it like a mint jelly?
Mark, I'm stopping.
Mint flavored jelly.
I'm stopping. Sounds all right. Thanks everybody for watching tonight. Thanks everybody who has liked the video. Thanks to you, Shane, for becoming a member this evening. Nice lovely Shane. Lad. Lovely lad.
Thanks, just Shane. Like his brother, slash Sean.
Sean.
What did I start saying just there?
Mint flavored jelly.
Something about jelly.
Yeah, but thanks everybody. If you do also want to become a member, you can do so. We've got more shows coming this week. You have the first episode of the United States with Shade. That has been recorded tomorrow night. So you're probably
brilliant
looking
name,
at Wednesday.
Brilliant.
It's a great name. Even better logo. I'm really proud of that logo. You've got Extra Tyne coming this week as well with Roger and Laura. You will have match previews coming.
Watford.
You've got Man United. There's two episodes coming out this week, which will be going on early release to members as well. So that's another reason to sign up.
It's dead cheap to sign up as well.
It's $2.99 a month. You can either opt for $2.99 or $4.99.
What can you buy for $2.99 these days?
Pint.
Cat food.
A pint? Wait, can you buy a pint for £3?
Weatherspoons.
Weatherspoons.
Right. I mean, we always should.
But Tories.
Tories.
Oh, shit, I've done it again. I thought I was going to go to the episode without calling Tories. Thanks, everybody. See you later. Enjoy your evening. We'll see you.
Don't eat cat food.
Unless it's with jelly. No gravy.